Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to be here again. As Pastor David was saying, we had a great Friday and Saturday. If my voice is not good, I said in the morning, earlier in the morning, it's David's fault. I wish I could be him. He was like, oh man, they're having a nice time. And he was just like that, and I was, so I don't have the same condition I had when I was playing soccer. But we had a great time with youth, a lot of icebreaker. It was a great time. And I'm honored to be here this morning. Still, no, this afternoon now. It's 10:13 down in Mexico. So this morning. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here with you. I feel part of this community. As Pastor David was saying, my grandfather did something with Pastor Ken that made this incredible place a place of worshiping God. And I'm very honored to come here. We're going to do it a little different. There's a picture of my grandfather. I didn't show in the morning. That's my grandfather. That's my father. And that's me. So that was when I was 15 years old. One thing I want to share to you about this picture is that 2 days ago, last Friday night, I saw some videos with Pastor Ken and Kay about my grandfather preaching right here. The interesting fact is that that man is the youngest of the boys in his family. The man in the middle is my father, and he's the youngest of the boys in the family, and he's been here 2 times. And I'm the youngest of the boys in my family, and now I'm here. I also was telling Pastor Ken, Pastor, you know what? I don't believe that, oh, how small is the world. No, how great is our God. It's different. How great is God and how he connects people. He makes us see that the world is small, but no, the world is huge. But the goodness and greatness of God is bigger than that. And that God made this connection, and I'm so happy about it. Also, I want to introduce you to my family. I think my son is sleeping. Yeah, he's sleeping, so my wife is not going to stand up. My daughter already went to the class. But she's my wife, Jessie, my son, James, my daughter, April, and myself. We live and serve in Mexico. I was born in Mexico, 1995, April the 15th. I'm Canadian because of my dad. I have my Canadian and my Mexican passport. So when I come here, I say, I feel home. I'm in my house. And I'm happy to be here with you, family. To be honest, in the morning when I came up to the altar, I was like shaking a little bit. And now I'm still the same. So now I want to start with a prayer. So please, you can join me. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this wonderful place, this wonderful family that we are here in Kitchener. Lord, I ask you today, your words, not my words, your spirit, not my spirit, your thoughts, not my thoughts. You are going to be the one who's going to be leading everything that is going to be said today. I pray that you open our minds and our hearts to receive what you have for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, I want to talk about preparing for the battle you're not yet in. We're going to start reading Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 13. And it says, in the name of Jesus Christ, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So the first thing we see in these verses is that the Bible is teaching us to be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. Sometimes we want to be strong in our own strength, but that means nothing. Without God, we're nothing. Do you believe that? And to be strong in His mighty power is not telling us to be strong in our own strength or to be strong according our own abilities, but He's telling us to be strong in the Lord and to be strong in His mighty power, because we know that our strength, abilities, and everything we can do is not enough. I know a lot of people in a lot of places, and they're very talented. And they could be good musicians. They could be good athletes, soccer players, baseball players, hockey, Olympics, everything. And because of their talents, their abilities, and everything they do, they think they can handle their lives and they can do great without Jesus. And they're wrong. It's very important to understand that even that God gave us a lot of abilities, we can't go out there without Jesus. Jesus is the one who helps us. He's our helper. He's always with us. Remember, we're talking about preparing for the battle we're not yet in. So sometimes when problems happen, we say, I'm able to take care of myself. I'm able to fight my battles by myself. Let me tell you, that's not truth. The moment when we have battles and we don't fight with Jesus in front of us, we're going to lose. The enemy will have control of the situation and we will always lose. So I want to read now John chapter 10, verse 10. One point is the devil is trying to block the work of God in our lives. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Family, everything we have, it's because of God. The good things we have, it's because of God. In life, we have problems, but God is the one who takes us out of those problems. But we have to seek His name. We have to follow His steps, and we must be walking under His shining light, shining way. Because God is light, and we are the light of the world. So just imagine if we walk away from God, we're fighting our battles without God. And that's no bueno. That's not good. Remember, that's no bueno. Eso no está bien. That's not good at all. So how can we avoid falling into the devil's plans? That's an interesting question. My grandfather would say in Spanglish, this is muy interesante. How can we avoid falling into the devil's plans? Without the strength of God and the protection of the spiritual armor, it's impossible to stand against the attacks of spiritual enemies. The devil came here to destroy. He came here to put fear into our lives. He came here to put confusion into our lives. He came here to break the relation, the things that God has done in our lives. He wants to destroy us. But the Bible says in Isaiah 41:13, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Sometimes we fall into a very deep hole and we don't see the exit. We don't even see the light of the sun shining there because it's very deep. And in those moments, the devil says, I'm going to confuse his mind or her mind, and I'm going to start putting fear. And I'm going to let them know that God is not with them, that God will never listen to them, and that they will always be there, and there's no solution to their lives. Well, God says, do not fear, I will help you. Jesus Christ from heaven is doing this, and he's waiting for us to look up and say, Jesus, here I am, pull me, take me out of here. While he's taking us out of there, fear is gone, confusion is gone. He turns all the bad things to good things. Amen? Are you still here? According to Ephesians 6, we have not been called to fight against the devil. We're not called to fight against the devil. That's very important. But to stand firm in the Lord. Listen how it continues telling us to put on the armor of God to stand our ground. Is not telling us to fight, but to stand our ground. In Spanish, instead of saying stand our ground, it says, the Bible says, resist, so that we will be able to resist. Well, it doesn't say resist. It says resistir. I was saying this word a few hours ago. I think only people from Mexico and from Serbia are able to say resistir. Resistir. So the Bible says to be able to resistir. The devil will try to steal the work of God in our lives through struggles, through temptations, and through the most difficult times. We will be having difficult times in our lives. Sickness, problems, family problems, work problems. You know what? That's a promise. Did you know that? But God will be always there for us. And will be there to tell us, hey, through this situation, you're not alone. I'm here with you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to take you out. And I'm here to give you success in my way. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4 says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Even Jesus was tempted by the devil, but he knew what his mission was on earth. He was hungry. He was a human. I've been fasting like the most I've done is like 10 days. After the third day, your body starts asking in a very desperate way for food. That's in my body. So in that moment, it's where I have to pray the most and ask God to give me the control of my body. Now imagine, God knew what his mission was, and the devil tried to confuse him, to do bad things against him. He wanted to destroy what Jesus was going to do on earth. The mission of God, part of his mission was to die on the cross. But the full mission was to defeat death. And he did it. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. A lot of people think that becoming a Christian is going to give them a life away from bad things, problems, and deceptions. It would be fantastic if becoming a Christian was a great life with no problems, with no struggles, with no confusion, with no deceptions, and everything good. But that's not true. The devil is there. The enemy is there. And once we decide to follow Jesus, that's the moment when the devil says, it's my turn to attack and destroy. But we must seek God's way, and he will never win. Once my wife became a Christian, she got baptized. That was 7 years ago. And a lot of problems came to her, and she said to me, isn't becoming a Christian supposed to keep you away from problems? And I laughed. But I laughed like this. That's the way I laughed. And I said, Jesse, my lovely wife. Well, not wife. She was my girlfriend then. Jesse, becoming a Christian puts you into reality. Once you become a Christian, once you become a follower of Christ, in that moment, the devil says, I lost a soul and I must get it back. And there is where real life comes. Because when we don't follow Jesus, do you think that the devil is going to bother you? You're not a follower of Christ. Why does the devil is going to be bothering you? He's going to say, he's coming with me. The devil, the enemy knows the Bible. And he's going to use the Bible to destroy us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. After my wife got baptized, there was a lot of family problems because she became the first Christian in her family. And the Mexican tradition was, it is being a Catholic. Even if you don't go to church, it's the tradition. So she marked a difference in her family, and she's the first Christian in her family, and we believe that God is going to do a full change in her family. We believe it. The devil, in 2011, I want to give you this example. The devil took control of me in a really bad way. In 2011, my dad had a very big problem. So we had to take him to the hospital. He had 2 surgeries in 3 days. After 2 hours of the second surgery, 2 or 3 hours, the doctor came out and he had a piece of toilet paper, I think. And he told me, my mom and my brother and my sister, smell this. And the smell of that thing was really bad. Really bad. And the doctor said, Stephen is infected of this dirty thing here. So I said to the doctor, you said that the surgery was going to be an hour and a half. Now it's been 3 hours, and it's going to be 5 hour surgery. Doctor, is my dad going to die? He didn't say anything. He just turned around, and he went inside of the operating room. He didn't answer me anything. So I got desperate, and I left the hospital. I looked up and I challenged God. But I said, Father, if my dad dies, forget about me serving your name. Forget about me going to church. Forget about me believing that you exist. That's bad. My dad made it, but he didn't make it. He didn't make it because I challenged God. He survived because it was God's will, not because of me. The devil took control of me, and he told me, God is not going to listen to you. That's why the doctor didn't answer to you, because your father is going to die. God doesn't exist. He's not going to respond to you. Every time I tell this story, my heart breaks. Because I thought, I can't be without my father. I need him. I'm only 16 years old. Why would God take my father away from me? And besides having faith through the situation, the devil took control of my mind. And I can't believe I said, God, if you're not there, if you don't do the miracle, I'm going to get away from you. But then, after my dad's recovery, I started to lie. I started to being a bad son. My mother was about to kick me out of the house. Because there was rebellion in my life. So challenging God destroyed my life. God didn't destroy my life. The devil destroyed my life because I let him take control of my life. But then 2024, last month, has been the worst month of my life. My dad had again another problem, and he had two surgeries. One was August the 2nd for 5 hours, and the second surgery was August the 8th for 10 hours. After 6 hours of the second surgery, it was probably 2 in the morning, the doctor came out. He took out of him a piece of his intestine, and he said, he's infected. And I said, doctor, you're the same guy of 14 years ago. So please don't leave. Answer me. Is my dad going to die? And he said, the possibility of death, it's really high. I left the hospital again. It was about 3 in the morning, and I looked up, and I said, God, here I am. 14 years later. But now, I don't want to be the same that I was 14 years ago. You know what is going to happen in my dad's life. Please give me peace. I don't know if you're going to take him away from me or not. But I want to be able to resist if you take him away. Give me the power of Jesus Christ in my body. I'm the youngest of three. And I was looking at my sister struggling and trying to be strong. Then my brother, he was like just away from everybody, analyzing the situation. And then my mother crying. So once we took him to another city, Torreón is about, San Pedro would be Kitchener, Torreón would be Toronto. Because in San Pedro, we don't have ICU, intensive care unit. The ambulance took my dad to Torreón, and I didn't want to see my dad because he was in a really bad shape. Again, I went with the doctor and I said, "Doctor, is my dad going to die?" And he said, "Maybe he's not going to make it from San Pedro to Torreón inside of the ambulance. He's in a really bad, healthy condition." I went home and I remember that I was breathing. And while I was breathing, I felt a lot of pain here. And I started having a headache. I felt that the devil was trying to destroy me. I went home, I saw my wife and my kids, and I said to my wife, "I need to be alone." I went to the bed, I lay down, and I put my feet like that. And I fell asleep like for 20 minutes. After those 20 minutes, the pain was gone and I felt the peace of God. So I grabbed my car. I went to Torreón because my mom wanted me to go with her in the ambulance. But I said, "Mom, no, I can't. Please, Peter, you've been with me during all this bad situation." And I said, "Mom, no." I drove to Torreón, and once I saw the doctor over there in Torreón, the other doctor, he told me, "Your father is going into ICU, but he probably is not going to make it, and he might die tonight." I left the hospital in Torreón, and I said, "God, please be with me. The devil is trying to take control of my life, and I don't want to lose this battle again. I lost that battle. I lost that battle 14 years ago, and my life was destroyed. I don't know if you're going to take him away from me or not. It's your decision, and I want your will to be done. And you're not going to give us situations that we cannot handle with. So if you take him away from us, it's because we're ready to fight that battle and see the victory through that battle. If you don't take him away, it's because we were not ready yet." My dad has lost 18 kilos right now. After 54 days, on Tuesday, he will leave the hospital. I obeyed the Bible. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." I was suffering. I'm very thankful with my wife because during all that month, I didn't go to work. I wasn't even sleeping in my house. I was sleeping in my car. I was taking care of my mom. I was helping my mom. My brother and my sister also were there but they had work to do. And I was able to get away from work and to be with my dad and my mom. If it wasn't for my wife, I couldn't be there because she took over our kids the whole month. And in some moments we had lack of faith. And I thought that God wasn't going to answer my prayers. But I understood that He always answers. Sometimes He doesn't answer the way we want. But the way He answers is the perfect way to answer. And we will understand His perfect decision in every situation that we have. What happens when we fall into suffering and things go bad? We blame God. We stop praying. We stop going to church. And we stop seeking God. The second part of this question is, why when bad times come to our lives, we get away from God? Because we have lack of spiritual training and because we want our will to be done in everything and we don't want to understand the will of God and the times of God. And the third question, family, is, why do we seek God only when we have difficult times? I think it's for our convenience. When life is full, when life is happy, when we're having success in every area of our life, we say, I don't need God. I have everything. A nice job, a wonderful family. I have a lot of TVs, internet, video games, a good cell phone. I have everything I need to live in this world. But once we have problems, now we say, oh God, please help me. And the right way to seek God is in moments of peace, we must seek God to prepare for the battle we're not yet in. Because when we're having a full life, that's the moment where we must seek God. The comment here says the time when you have to seek God the most is when we're having a full life. Because during that time, we have joy, peace, love, success, good health. We strengthen our spirit because we are always looking for God. And when life goes wrong, we are ready to face any situation because we have been close to God all the time. If you're having a full life right now, if you're not having any bad situation in your life, I want to encourage you. Get ready for the battle you're not yet in because you don't know the future, but God knows it. And once you go into that suffering time, bad time, you're going to be here and God is going to be in front of you fighting that battle and you will find success during that situation. I want to give you another example. God tested Abraham's faith and asked him to offer his son Isaac in sacrifice. Just imagine God telling me, Peter, I need you to give your son James in sacrifice. I wanted to have a boy. The first time my wife was pregnant, I cried because I knew it was a girl. And I said, oh, I wanted a boy. But then the second time she was pregnant, I said to God, God, please give me another girl. We were going to call her Megan Faith. And the doctor said, it's a boy. And then Peter James came. But just imagine that God tells you, if you love me, you have to do this sacrifice. Are you willing to do the sacrifice that God wants you to do to win your battles? That's a good question. We must prepare for battle, for the battle in moments of peace. In Mark 4, at the end of the chapter, talks about Jesus calming the storm. This story is mostly preached about faith and the ability of Jesus to calm the storm. But when you think of a small boat and Jesus sleeping inside of it and the water hitting his face and his body moving forth and back and forth and back and the water shaking and Jesus was still sleeping. So there was peace inside of his body. Don't forget that Jesus came here as a human. We live next to a bar in Mexico, me and my wife. And when we started living there, the music was so bad. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there was a lot of vibration into the wall, and the music was really, really loud. So I called my dad, and I said, Daddy, I still call him Daddy. I'm the youngest, I'm the baby, so I think I'm allowed to. Daddy, can I go to the bar and tell the owner of the place if I can fix his sound system? And my dad said, yes, go. There was a security guy there, and he told me, your ID. And I said, no, I'm not going in. I want to talk to the owner. He called the owner, and he came with a gun here, that tall. And he said, what do you want? And I said, I'm not here to fight. Can you please let me go in and fix your audio? And the sound is going to be much better. The thing is that your audio is shaking my wall, and we cannot sleep. Oh, welcome. Then we went upstairs. It took me like an hour to fix everything, and he said, wow, it sounds great. And I said, I know something about audio. And after that, he told me, thank you for helping me. Is this going to bother you? And I said, no. I remember calling my wife, Jesse, is the vibration gone? And she said, yes, it's gone. Great. Thank you very much. I'm going home now. And he said, wait. Do you want a drink? And I said, no, I don't drink. Come on, stay. I can introduce you to some ladies. What? And I said, no, thank you. I just want to go to bed. Since then, upstairs he has a bar, downstairs he has a restaurant. He told me, whenever you want free food, just call me. I call him like 4 or 5 times a year. And I get really big and delicious shrimps. I'm willing to pay. But he says, no, you're my friend. What I want to tell you about this story is that even that the music is still there, we're able to sleep. My daughter never complains about the music. We got used to it? No, we didn't get used to it. We overcame that situation. God helped us. I think everything is connected. If we make seeking God a lifestyle, it doesn't matter the situation, we will win the battles in front of us because we will be ready and the master will be in front of us fighting them because we will have peace during the storm and nothing is going to make our faith fall down. In 2011, I was in rebellion against God and my family. I remember my mom crying and telling me, Peter, what is wrong with you? And I was saying, Mom, I don't know. After months, I remembered that the bad situations I was living, it's because I challenged God outside of the hospital. But in 2024, I went to the same spot. And I said, God, I think I left a curse here. And I want to change that place for a blessing of you. I'm so happy that God answered my prayers. But I was ready if the answer was no. So in moments of peace, we must get ready for the battles. I want to encourage you today to prepare yourselves for the battles you're not yet in. We don't live in the future. We live in the present. So we have to be living day by day, day by day. And God will take care of the rest. Maybe you have had worse situations than the one I had. And maybe you had success or not. Because when the will of God is not the one we want, sometimes we say, I didn't find success in this situation. Let me tell you, you did. Not the way you wanted, but the way God wanted. I want to repeat this again. Prepare yourselves for the battle you're not yet in. We must prepare for the battle in moments of peace. I have had bad situations in my life down in Mexico. But now I say I'm ready for everything because I don't seek God only on Sundays. I seek God every single day. I thank God for everything, for the opportunity of living a new day, for the opportunity of having food in front of me, for my house, for my family, for my church, for my mission, and for everything that He's still doing in my life. I've heard this comment, and I heard it one time, and then I realized it was true. Pastor Ken sent me a message when I was in Mexico, and he said, we're indestructible. When there's things that has to be done here on earth. So I think my dad, God wanted my dad here. But that situation made our faith grow. And personally, I felt peace all the time. Sometimes I would say, God, are you answering me? And I was trying, and I was fighting against myself because the devil was there. He wanted to confuse me like he did 14 years ago. But I said, go away. I believe in God, and I know that the will of God is going to be good for me. Now that I still have moments of peace, again, because August was bad, I'm ready for the next battle. We must be ready for any battle in our lives. But don't prepare for the battle while you're in the battle. No, prepare for it now. If you know what your purpose in life is, I want to congratulate you. If you don't, you're in the right place to find what your mission here is, and you're in the right place to seek God and to seek that mission and do God's will in your life. Remember that once you are a believer, the enemy is there. Try to destroy you. But it's your decision if you want to listen to him or just say, back off, I'm following God. There's going to be a moment that the enemy is going to say, I don't think he's going to fall, so I'm going for another one. We must be the ones that never fall. Let's leave what we sing. Let's leave what we sing. We sing, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Don't say it from here. Say it from here and leave it from here. God never fails to us. We must be ready for the battles, and we must prepare for the battles in moments of peace. God bless you, family. Thank you very much.